From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Root of Failure and the Key to Victory, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. So walk ye in Him. If we have received Christ Himself in our inmost hearts, our new life will manifest its intimate acquaintance with Him by a walk of faith in Him. Walking implies action. Our religion is not to be confined to our closet. We must carry out into practical effect that which we believe. If a man walks in Christ, then he so acts as Christ would act. For Christ being in him, his hope, his love, his joy, his life, he is the reflection of the image of Jesus. And men say of that man, he is like his master. He lives like Jesus Christ. Walking signifies progress. So walk ye in him. Proceed from grace to grace. Run forward until you reach the uttermost degree of knowledge that a man can attain concerning our Beloved. Walking implies continuance. There must be a perpetual abiding in Christ. How many Christians think that in the morning and evening they ought to come into the company of Jesus, and may then give their hearts to the world all the day. But this is poor living. We should always be with Him, treading in His steps and doing His will. Walking also implies habit. When we speak of a man's walk and conversation, we mean his habits, the constant tenor of his life. Now if we sometimes enjoy Christ, and then forget Him, sometimes call Him ours, and anon lose our hold, that is not a habit. We do not walk in Him. We must keep to Him, cling to Him, never let Him go, but live and have our being in Him. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Persevere in the same way in which ye have begun. And as at the first Christ Jesus was the trust of your faith, the source of your life, the principle of your action, and the joy of your spirit, so let Him be the same till life's end. The same when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and enter into the joy and the rest which remain for the people of God. O Holy Spirit, enable us to obey this heavenly precept.
You, I come before your throne, rejoice.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Joshua chapter 6 records the great victory of the children of Israel over the city of Jericho. Yet in chapter 7, we find the same army suffering a humiliating defeat at the hands of the inhabitants of the city of Ai. Joshua was shocked by this turn of events, and he cried out to God for the reason. The Lord gave him a very terse answer. There is sin in the camp. As we'll see in the course of this message, the Christian's attitude towards sin is the key either to victory or to defeat. The sin spoken of here is not just the occasional transgression. It is gross, deliberate, and persistent sin, which grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Achan's sin included many aspects, such as sacrilege, contamination by the unclean thing, and hypocrisy. He was guilty of carnal lust, unbelief, and stubborn impenitence. The presence of unconfessed sin renders a believer powerless against God's enemies. In Achan's case, sin brought ruin upon himself and his family. Now to continue this message, the root of failure and the key to victory, here is Dr. Cairns.
See, what I'm talking about when I say sin is the cause of failure, it's usually gross sin or deliberate, willful, or usually for most of us, persistent sin. Take a look at Achan's sin. It was colossal. It was complex. It contains all the elements of most of the types of sin that damage or destroy a Christian's work and witness. First of all, it was deliberate disobedience. God said, "Thou shalt not," and he did. Deliberate disobedience. Let me tell you, my friend, deliberate disobedience is altogether rampant among professing Christians today. When a man knows to do right and doesn't do it, it is sin. The Scripture is clear and plain and unmistakable. We have clear commands in the Word of God, "Thou shalt" and "Thou shalt not." And when Christians fly in the face of the clear commands of God's Word, they need not then throw up their hands in mock horror or get before God as Joshua did and say, "Lord, what is happening? Why have we lost the blessing? Why are we out of touch with God? Why is our life not amounting to anything? If you're living in disobedience before God and you know it, then, my friend, while you live in disobedience, things are not going to change. Then there was sacrilege. In verse 11. This sacrilege had this man Achan taking of what was devoted to God, stealing from God. Now let's stop there for a moment. Stealing from God. Taking that which belongs to the Savior. Taking, in this case, gold and silver. Sometimes that's the trouble with Christians. We can easily sing the words, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold," and that only makes us liars as well as thieves in so many cases. All too easy for Christians to get to the place where they so worship the gold and the silver, what has become known as the American dream and the ability to go forward financially, that they replace God on the throne of their heart with the idol of this world's goods. All too easy. Let's ask you to search your heart this morning. How many Christians here are careful to ensure that they tithe their income to God, to God's work? How many Christians, when they get what they say belongs to them, come to it and say, "The first 10% of that does not belong to me. It belongs to God. It's not mine to work with. It's not mine to invest. It's not mine to put in with my other resources. It belongs to the Lord. But I'm poor." Well, there's all the more reason then. I've often quoted to you the words of S.B. Cook, who was my minister at the time, and I don't know anybody who was any poorer than Bert Cook. If you had to live even in today's equivalent standards, if you had to live on what Bert Cook had to live on, you would say it's a joke to expect it. Your children, in most cases, would have more pocket money in a week than he had to run a home on. And I never forget what he said. He said, "I cannot afford not to tithe." I never forgot that. I was just a teenager. I never forgot that. The first fruits belong to the Lord. And it's sacrilege to steal what belongs to Him. The Lord has tied this into great blessing in Malachi 3 when He says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So does God tie spiritual blessing into our financial commitment to Him and to His work? Yes, He does. You better believe it. And all the praying in the world, and all the weeping in the world, and all the witnessing in the world, and all the Bible reading in the world, and all the holy conversation in the world will never take the place of us simply saying, "Lord, I will not be a thief of the things that belong to God. I will not do it." There was sacrilege. And of course then, there was this contamination with the unclean thing, with the accursed thing. God says, touch not this accursed thing. He not only touched it, He embraced it. How many are the things in this society in which we live which are plainly and clearly under the curse of a holy God? How many of them have been set aside and the Lord says, don't touch them? But we have Christians and they're not only touching them, they're wallowing in the mire of those things. I realize that for better or worse we live in the late 20th century and there's no way out of it. We should thank God we're here to serve Him in it. But we should never forget we are here to serve Him in it. There are Christians whose reading material is vile. There are Christians whose reading material is pornographic. There are Christians who can sit down and spend hours watching the utmost immoral filth. Then they go to God and say, Lord, why do we not have revival? And God says, get up from your face before me. Filth, pornography, wickedness. They're Christian homes. I can't understand it, but there are Christian homes where they can watch sodomy, lesbianism, perversion, wickedness portrayed before them. And they say, oh, that's terrible. But it's there nonetheless. God says, touch it not. We have got so used to the filth of this society in which we live that God's word seems a trifle old-fashioned. Then there was hypocrisy. In verse 11, he hath dissembled. Just a bit like Ananias and Sapphira. And committed the sin. Now Achan knew that this was sin. Achan knew that God's curse was upon it. But he came back into the camp and he kept up appearances and there he was in the entire period between the fall of Jericho and the failure at Ai. There he was in the camp with all the appearances of a good, upright, honest, hard-working, obedient member of Israel. But all the time he was just a hypocrite. It was just a mask. It was a cover up for what he knew and God knew was a rotten and a filthy and a wicked thing. Can you see him with those who are going to pray? And there he is and he can pray. Can you see him with those at the time of the public exhortation of the word, and always there, and he can pay attention? And can you see him among those, and they're talking about going on to conquer Ai and the rest of the land? And oh yes, here's a man, and he can talk about this mighty movement of God and this great revival. He can talk about it, but all the time he's just a hypocrite. Just a hypocrite. An Ananias or a Sapphira. Oh, they curse of Christian hypocrisy. You'll have heard it said before how we get the word hypocrite. It's an allusion to the Greek theater. We would say it's just putting a mask on. It's hiding the real face behind a mask. It's taking the appearance and hiding the reality behind the appearance. My friend, let me tell you, God says as long as that is the case, expect nothing. You may have all the talent in the world. You may do a million and one other things. But while that is the case, expect nothing of spiritual power and spiritual blessing. It can't be. It was carnal lust. That was one of his great failures. Carnal lust was in his sin. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eye. There it was. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, always brings forth death. It's a chain of events that neither you nor I can ever interrupt. Then there was unbelief. He obviously didn't believe that God would provide. He looked at this as if it were the only chance in his life he would ever have to look after himself and his family. Money at any cost. I heard a woman on the radio the other day, and she was competing for a lottery ticket. Now, the lottery is just legalized gambling. And the lottery is the door to hell to millions. The man asked her, well, if you win this lottery ticket and it wins the lottery, what's the first thing you want to do to it? She says, well, my town needs a new church. And I would build a new church out of the $28 million I would hope to win. People have the most skewed ideas when it comes to being able to lay hold on gain. I have known Christians to become the most twisted, the most lying. In fact, at times even criminal, to be able to lay their hands on quick money. What is that? Well, it's all that I've said so far, but it is unbelief in God's promise to provide. When you stop to think of this, in the very next chapter, the Lord told the armies of Israel that the spoil of Ai, the cattle thereof, you'll take for a prey unto yourselves. And that was just the beginning. There was a rich fullness for Achan. But he didn't believe it. It was for the here and now. He didn't believe that God really could see him. I believe that that is something that lies at the heart of much of the wickedness that professing Christians indulge in. If we really believe what Hagar said, "Thou, God, seest me." We really believe that. If we really believe that all things are open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, that there is nothing hid from our God, then we would recognize there's no such thing as secret sin. There's no such thing as secret sin. Maybe secret as far as the world's concerned, or as far as the church is concerned, but it's emblazoned in letters of fire before the eyes of God Almighty. But Achan obviously didn't believe it. As long as others couldn't see it, it was hidden. Of course, he did not believe that God would judge. What a sin this was.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.